Morning, everyone. Hope this is working. It's good to be with you this morning, and this opportunity to share with you a message, a happy message. What I'd like to do this morning, I've entitled the message, Fishing with the Master. Fishing with the Master. And the purpose of this message is really to present you with the gospel and invite you to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus. That really is the purpose of this portion of scripture that we'll be looking at. There's two portions. What I'd like to look at this morning is found in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And then once we read that, I'll also read the next story in John chapter 20. What I'd like to do after that is just briefly compare the similarities between those two stories, look at the differences, and then we'll go back to Luke chapter 5 and look at that in detail. We won't have time to cover John chapter 20, but that's what we hope to do. And then at the end, there's a couple of pictures and videos that I'd like to show you as well, too, in slides. And I hope that will show up. So let's turn to Luke chapter 4. And we'll start reading from verse 38. I'd like to pick it up from verse 38 for the sake of the background and the context here. Then he got up, and that is the Lord Jesus, and left the synagogue and entered Simon's home. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him to help her. And standing over her, he rebuked the fever, and it left her, and she immediately got up and waited on them. While the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and laying his hands on each one of them, he was healing them. Demons also were coming out of many, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But rebuking them, he would not allow them to speak, because they knew him to be the Christ. When day came, Jesus left and went to a secluded place, and the crowds were searching for him and came to him and tried to keep him from going away from them. But he said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." So he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. He sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered and said, "Master, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing, but I will do as you say and let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on, you will be catching men." When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Let's turn over to John chapter 20, please. John chapter 20, reading from verse 30. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. After these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifested himself in this way. Simon, Peter, and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will come also with you." They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "Children, you do not have any fish, do you?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch." So they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they had gotten on land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of large fish, 153, and although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples ventured to question him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifest to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And then dropping down now over to verse 22. Jesus said to him, this is Peter now, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. You follow me." So, just quickly summarizing, looking at these two portions of scriptures, wanted to just kind of look at the similarities quickly and then identify the differences. Similarities, looking at these two portions of scripture. First of all, there were people that were in common in both stories. First of all, there was the Lord Jesus, right? And then also, though, there were three of his disciples. There's Peter, there's James, and there's also John. Andrew, which is Simon Peter's brother, most likely was there as well, too, although he was not mentioned by name in the next story in John 21. So the people that were there in common were these five. And then the location. The Lake Gennesaret in Luke chapter 5 is actually the same as the Sea of Tiberias in John chapter 21. It's also commonly known as the Sea of Galilee. Let me see if I can show you that picture now. This is to give credit to where I found this from Wikipedia, just in case you wanted to know. So it was important to cite your sources, right? Otherwise, you'll be tagged for plagiarism. Sea of Galilee is here. Same as the Sea of Tiberias, same as the Lake Gennesaret. What's interesting, though, let me do this next one, is that the River Jordan actually runs from north to south. So in the Sea of Galilee, what happened there? Oh. I'll just go back for a second. This is the Sea of Tiberias. Today, this is famous for tourism. A lot of people come here to visit the Sea of Tiberias, where the second story is. There's a lot of hotels there and restaurants there. This is a common dish that they serve. It's called St. Peter's fish. It's actually tilapia, about this big, that they cook and they serve. This is the seashore, the coastline of the Sea of Galilee, of the Lake Gennesaret. And I wanted to show you this because what's interesting is the River Jordan actually up there flows from north to south through the Sea of Galilee. And Tiberias, you can see here, is to the left. So that's what I wanted to show you there. And I think there's one more beautiful coastline that I wanted to show you as well, too.
There it is.
So it's a fresh body of water, not salt. It's about 21 kilometers long and about 13 kilometers wide. The deepest part of the lake is only about 140 feet. So that's the location that's similar in both stories. The problem, we have a problem here that's common, is that they went fishing all night long and they caught nothing. Now, that's very discouraging, especially if you're fishing all day long and you catch nothing. What's even worse is actually fishing all night long and catching nothing. The solution in both stories are the same. Jesus directed them to lower their nets down for a catch. The result was that a large amount of fish was caught instantly in both stories. And then finally, the key here is the application is similar in both stories. And that is Jesus is calling Peter, calling men and women to follow him, to be his disciple. What about the differences in this story? First of all, in the first story, Jesus is preaching to a crowd, you'll notice. Whereas in the second story, it's more of a private conversation that he is having with his disciples, seven of them. The location, though, even though it's the same lake, it could be in a different part of the lake. The solution in regards to putting the nets out was different. In the first story, he was telling them to lower their nets into deep water for a catch. In the second story, they were telling them to lower the nets on the right-hand side of the boat. There's a new problem now. The new problem is that in the first story, the nets started to break and the boat started to sink. In the second story, the nets were full of fish and yet it did not break. In the first story, they never counted the number of fish. It just said that there was a lot of fish. But in the second story, they counted 153. Is that important? Is there a significance to that number? In the first story, the reaction of Peter. He was full of fear. And he even asked the Lord to depart from him, for he recognized that he was a sinful man. But in the second story, Peter throws himself into the lake and actually swims towards the Lord Jesus so that he could have fellowship and have a conversation with him. And then finally, the difference is, in the first story, they did not have breakfast together, but in the second story, there actually was a charcoal ring of fire with bread and fish already on it, and they were able to enjoy a meal together. Now, is that important? Is that significant? We'll look at that probably in another time. But there is a reason. Let's go back now. I'd like to circle back to Luke chapter 5, please, if you can turn with me back to Luke chapter 5. We talked about the background, where a crowd in chapter 5 was pressing around the Lord Jesus, and he was teaching them the word of God, the Bible tells us. Well, where did the crowd come from as I was reading this? And why were they following the Lord? When we read the verses in chapter 4, we realized that the Lord Jesus is just starting out in his ministry. He has been teaching in the synagogues. He has actually cast someone, a demon, out of someone. And that demon spoke, saying that he is the Christ, he is the Son of God. And it says in verse 37 that the report about him was spreading into every locality in the surrounding district. And so he was becoming popular. His story of what he did was spreading. And then there was Peter. Notice in verse 38, Jesus left the synagogue and went straight into Peter's home. And he spent time there, and immediately he healed Peter's mother-in-law. She waited on them, was healed immediately, and then that evening, there were a lot of people from the town that were coming to Peter's home, and Jesus healed all of them, and casting out demons, and these demons were declaring Jesus to be the Son of God. So what was Peter observing that day? He was observing miracles. He saw his own mother-in-law being healed, and he was hearing these demons coming out, declaring that Jesus was the Son of God. So that sets the background up for now in chapter 5. So the Lord Jesus goes to the Lake Gennesaret. I've named headings of this next portion with words starting with P. So there's the purpose, there's a place, there's a people, there's a platform, there's a presentation, and then there's a plan. And finally, there's the proof. So the purpose. What was the purpose of this story? The Lord Jesus was teaching, first of all, the crowds the Word of God. He was speaking to them the Word of God. But there's also another purpose in that Jesus was going to be calling and inviting four men to become his disciples. Then the place of this particular story. It's in the Lake of Gennesaret, early in the morning, where Peter was actually finishing his night shift. This was Peter's place of business. This is where Peter worked. And he was doing his job, albeit finishing his work by cleaning up his tools and his equipment. And the Lord Jesus comes to Peter's place of work and he calls him to come to him and he witnesses to him. He takes the opportunity right here to speak to the crowd and to Peter. And I was just thinking about the application of this for ourselves. The importance of us taking time wherever we are to make disciples for Christ. At work, at school, in our neighborhoods, wherever we are, that's something that we can think about and take to heart and apply this to ourselves. And throughout this message, as I was studying this, I kept asking myself, how can we apply this? And how can we practice some of the illustrations here and what the Lord is trying to teach us? So, the place was Peter's business, and the Lord was witnessing to Peter there. And then the people. There were two sets of people there. First of all, there's the crowd. And then there were two boats with fishermen who were out of the boats and cleaning their nets, probably removing all the debris and all the weeds that had been trapped in the nets during their night of fishing. We read that there's Peter and Andrew in one boat and James and John in the other boat. There were two sets of brothers. And interestingly, they also were business partners, because here in verse 7, they signal to their partners in the other boat to come to them and to help them. So these brothers were actually business partners. They had known each other. They've worked together. And it's interesting that I find that the Lord Jesus calls four fishermen to be his disciples. I remember our brother Rob Brandon was talking about this one time. He was asking, well, why did the Lord Jesus choose four fishermen? What is it about fishermen that was so special that he chose them? And he was indicating that perhaps they don't easily give up, you know. They kind of stay there and until they catch a fish. They just spend hours and hours out there. So maybe it was because of their stubbornness. But I find here very encouraging that the Lord calls four fishermen, presumably uneducated men, to be his disciples. You know, today's society, what do they value? They value education. They always talk about education. And if you didn't have a degree, you would be easily looked over and not be able to become a teacher or a preacher. But not in God's economy. And I find that God is the one who gives wisdom and spiritual discernment to understand the Word of God and to be able to teach and to preach. A couple of verses I found interesting, found in 1 Corinthians 3:19. It says this, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. For it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness." And then in 1 Corinthians 1:20 and 21, it says, "Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God is well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. So these verses talk to us about the wisdom of man, and through the wisdom of man, we cannot come to know God. God has chosen a simple message, the gospel message, to save those who believe. Think about the wisdom of the world today. I kind of looked it up last night. In Canada, 60% of people believe in evolution. That's what they believe, how we came to be. Mankind and all of the creatures that we see. Evolution, 60%. In Britain, the percentage is even higher. 70% of people in Britain believe in evolution. And in North America, interestingly, that number drops down to about 40%, according to what I was able to find. And so in the wisdom of man, this is where they come up with all the theories, the so-called science and the experiments to say this is the origin of man without acknowledging God. But the message of the gospel is very simple. Christ Jesus came. He is God. He came to this earth. He never sinned. And he died on the cross for our sins. And those who believe and trust in him, he says he will save. And if we confess our sins, he says he'll forgive us. And that is the simple gospel message. And God has chosen to reveal that to those who would believe in him, that whosoever will. Everyone has the opportunity to believe and trust in him. Okay, the next point I'd like to look at is the platform. The platform. Jesus got into Simon's boat and used that as the platform, if you will, to preach. He asked him to put it out a little ways from land so he could teach. As you can see earlier in this chapter, the crowds were pressing around him. It was difficult probably for the Lord to be able to teach them. And so he went into Simon's boat, out into the waters. I don't know if you've been out in the waters before fishing, but sound travels a long ways. I can often hear boats and them talking a long ways away. And so sound travels very well. The acoustics is very well. So for the Lord to be able to go out into the boat, he could address the audience, the crowd, much easier, and they could hear what he was saying. And so Peter's boat was used for the ministry of God's word. I like that. I like that. Using your boat for the ministry of God's word. It just makes sense. I'm sure I read that in the commentary somewhere. I'm just kidding. But the platform, using what we have to further God's word. That's something that we can all do. We can all take to heart and put into practice. And then the next thing is the presentation. The presentation. What was being presented by the Lord Jesus? He was, I'm sure, sharing the gospel, the good news. And that's what I wanted to focus on this morning. The good news. What was Jesus teaching? You know, in Matthew chapter 4:17, it tells us, from that time onwards, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, what did he mean by that? In Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31, Paul was teaching people in Athens, and he said this, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Repent. Our brother Larry talked about that a few months ago, the word repent. And that is to actually have not only a feeling sorry for your sins, but not just the emotional side of it, but having a change of mind so that you have a change of heart, so that you have a change in behavior. You know, recognizing that you're a sinner before God and acknowledging that and not making excuses about it. But going honestly before God and asking Him to forgive you and to help you change your direction in life so that you can live for Him, so that you can obey His commandments, so that you can please Him, so that you can love Him. Jesus said, if you'll love me, you'll keep my commandments. That's what true repentance is all about. And the Lord Jesus, right from the beginning, as He began His ministry, speaks the truth to everyone to say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We need to turn from our sins, be saved, be forgiven, trust in Christ, and then go into the world and make more disciples for Him. That's the message that the Lord Jesus preached and taught right from the beginning. And that's what we try to do here as well too at Westview. And in our own lives, we try to share the gospel, to encourage people to repent of their sin, trust in Christ, be saved, and to go and to make disciples of all nations. And so, after the presentation, Jesus tells Peter to lower down his nets for a catch. That was the Lord's plan for him, to show him who he was. How did Peter respond? Peter at first responded, I think, with doubt in his mind. With doubt in his mind because of his experience. I've been fishing all night long. I've caught nothing. And at night, the fish can't see my net. But in the daytime, they can see the net. So if I try to catch them, they're just going to run away. So his experience was telling him that it was not going to be successful, most likely. He's probably tired from fishing all night. He's probably finished cleaning his net. And if he lowers his net down again, he'd have to clean it again. So I can understand Peter's response. But nevertheless, he obeyed. He put his net down. And he caught a large amount of fish. Well, how can we apply that? How can we apply that? I think some of us can. Some of us can be discouraged based on our experience in witnessing to other people, in knocking on doors, in handing out tracts, in maybe speaking to someone at work that we've talked to already multiple times about the Lord Jesus. But I think it's important for us not to give up. If the Lord is pressing upon your heart to speak to someone, you should do that. We should always take the opportunity, even if they've rejected the gospel before, just to say a word in season, if that's what the Lord's directing you to do. And for us, taking the opportunity to share Christ, I think is something that's important. Some of the times our experience, we can really easily make excuses and kind of excuse ourselves from sharing our faith with someone. But in this case, Peter obeyed. And I've been encouraged in my own life to also be obedient, to try and share the gospel with other people and to share it in love. Well, what happened? Fishing. Fishing with a net works best at night because the fish can't see the net in the dark. But in the daytime, they probably would see the net and would avoid being caught unless something drives them into the net, or in this case, someone compels them to swim into the net. I kind of thought about the net in this case. It's not a perfect illustration, but it's kind of like the gospel, isn't it? The net is like the gospel that's attracting and compelling the fish to come in. What's more interesting, though, that the gospel, the net in this case, it's cast in the daylight where everyone can see. And it kind of reminds me, or it kind of speaks to me about the gospel message is something that you share openly to people. It's not a hidden message. It's not something that traps people in the dark. It's something that is declared openly to all. Christ came 2,000 years ago and died on the cross in full public view of many witnesses. And this is not something that was done in secret. He died a shameful death, and we talked about it this morning, a horrible death in full public view. And he rose again from the dead, and showed himself, as the Bible tells us, to over 500 witnesses. So the whole gospel message is something that is shared in the open, shared in the light, and it compels men and women to come to Christ. God's love for us, his forgiveness, his salvation, all of that is what the gospel message is all about. And what about the proof of the message? The result here of Peter's obedience was incredible. It actually was miraculous. There was a large quantity of fish that were being caught, and so much so that both boats began to sink. Not only did they catch a lot of fish, but how fast they caught the fish. It was instantaneous, and something tremendous about this miracle was an act of God. And I was thinking about the story in the book of Acts, if you recall, the day of Pentecost. This is such a similar parallel to that. Peter was doing his first open-air preaching that day, and he was sharing the gospel. And what a tremendous result. He was fishing for men. He was casting his net, the gospel message. And with that, 3,000 souls were saved. Remember the Lord Jesus talking about repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand? I want to fast forward now and just look at two or three verses in the book of Acts. And just look at Peter's message for a minute. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36 to 41. And here Peter is being obedient to the Lord. He is preaching the gospel. He says this, "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus, whom you crucified." Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Verse 38, Peter said to them, "Repent." You see that word? "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." So Peter's message is the same. Repent. Turn from your sin. Confess your sin to God. Trust in the Lord Jesus. What he did on the cross was for you. Believe in him and become his disciple and follow him. I just have 2 minutes left, and I wanted to show you a video, if I may, in regards to something that I found. So just in closing, we here at Westview, we're coming into September now. We have lots of opportunity to make disciples. We've got Kids Club, Sunday School, Ladies Coffee Hour. We've got Mount Tolmie and Aberdeen Hospital Work. Christianity Explored, potentially. What else? Yeah, we just have lots of opportunity to go into the world and make disciples. And I just want to encourage all of us to do that and to make good use of our time as we move forward in this fall season. That's really what I wanted to share this morning, just to encourage you all. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Lord, I just thank you again for your call for us to go into the world to make disciples. Well, first of all, to follow you and to trust in you. And we see how you bless your word as it goes forward, and the great harvest that we saw Peter when he preached on the day of Pentecost. You use so many examples, so many illustrations, that if we obey you and trust and do your work, you would bless the results. So I just pray that this coming fall season, that you would lead our hearts and open doors and opportunities for us, Lord. How can we serve you? Where would you like us to be? What would you like us to do? I pray that you would open our our eyes and our hearts to see the need, and to go forward and to serve. And I just thank you again for the small assembly that we have, Westview, how we love you and we love one another and we do our best to obey you here. We thank you for the light that we have in the community here. And I just pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless the spiritual growth of this assembly and to help us to grow also in making disciples in numbers as well too. And so we ask, Lord, that you go before us and to bless us. We thank you now in Jesus' wonderful name.